This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Yes, I am. Oh, my goodness sakes. It's always wonderful to have this time to spend together Monday through Friday. We always look forward to hearing from you. Let me give you a phone call that you can use to join us today right here on Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. And we're also available for you, is out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will be sure to retrieve it, and we will address it. Yes, we will. I want to let you know, too, that if you cannot call in live, we can receive your question via our listener comment line. Here is the direct number for it, 205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. That is the dedicated listener comment line. When you call in on that number, just tell us what your name is, where you're calling from, and what your question or comment is. And if it's for Women of Grace, say so. And it will get specified for us, and we'll address it on one of those days when we dip into our mailbag to see who has left what for us. You can email your questions to us too, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can get a question to us as well. So we invite you to use all of these means to communicate with us. If you're outside of North America, here is a number for you to use to call in to get your question answered live today, and that is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. But if you're in North America, this is your toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oh my goodness, here we are. We're in Holy Week. Can you believe it? I don't know. It just seems like Lent has really grown wings and is flying away very quickly. So, you know, I hope that you're going to spend this Holy Week in a holy way. It's an important thing to do. I understand that this is a week that is very busy for a lot of people because you're making preparation. Perhaps you have family coming to visit you. Maybe you are the one who is going to be hosting family at your home for Easter dinner. And that's all very beautiful and wonderful. You know, and I think that there's this beautiful reality that we sometimes forget about. And that beautiful reality that we sometimes forget about is that everything in our day can be incorporated into where we are liturgically in the season of the year, right? So what we can do is you know, remember as we're going about the business of getting ready for this beautiful, beautiful feast that we're going to celebrate on Easter Sunday. Great, St. Athanasius calls it the Great Sunday. So great is it that it lasts for 8 days. We have the octave of Easter. So all of that being said, and the Easter season actually runs, you know, until Pentecost Sunday. So we have 40 days of Lent, and then the 3 days of Triduum. And then we have, I think, 50 days of celebration. So it just goes to show you that God cannot be outdone in generosity. And he demonstrates that through the life of the church. But what I'm thinking about specifically today is that, you know, this practicing of the present moment, this acknowledgement that God's grace is in the present moment and our awareness of that grace, and thinking about that grace this week in light of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ can be a very fruitful exercise. So even when you are about the business of making preparation, ask the Holy Spirit to help you locate a disposition of heart that is attentive to the fact that this is Holy Week, that this is the week, the last week, basically, of Jesus' life on earth, right? True God, true man. before his crucifixion and resurrection. But this is Jesus. This is the culmination of why Jesus came. It's the culmination of that. He came for what reason? To die for us. And this is the week that's taking us to that moment, but then to the great moment of his resurrection from the dead, which is our hope, right? You know, that's where we place our faith, that Jesus rose from the dead by his own power, right? So you know, that is the singular reality of how it is that we base our belief. It shows us that he is indeed God, right? So being attentive to that, in some aspect of your soul, you know, making an effort to recall this, even as you're about the business, and offering everything up in union with the sacrifice of Christ, which we should always be doing. You know, we should always be doing that. But maybe in a even more intentional way, you know, to draw that into your mind as we go through this week. And also, too, you know, make use of the sacrament of reconciliation. Make use of that sacrament. You know, this is the time when we want to be so wide open, you know, so wide open to this moment in the history of man, when Jesus Christ came to us to die for us. We want to be attentive to that. I mean, when you think about the second person of the Blessed Trinity dressing himself, robing himself, if you will, in the flesh of our humanity, and then offering that for our sake, really and truly being the scapegoat for us, right? Substituting himself for us in that moment. When we think of that, we have every reason to be grateful, to be joyful, but also to be attentive to the realities of that great sacrifice. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. We do love having that holy conversation with you. We certainly do. Really encouraging you also to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things coming up. April 3rd, which is, you know, very soon, April 3rd, we are going to have a Women of Grace Foundational Study informational meeting online. If you have been interested in the Women of Grace Foundational Study, you want more information about it to see if you can join one, or, you know, if you want to join one, or if you would like to lead one, well, this is the meeting for you to attend. Obviously, it's free of charge. You just click when you get out there on our website, just click on where it's mentioned on the homepage there. It's going to take you to a landing page. And then you can click there. It'll show you where to help you register. We want to be prepared for you. We'll send you all of the important information so that you can join us. It'll be held by Zoom. So we want for you to get out there and to take a look at that. That's a wonderful thing. But then we do have some Women of Grace studies that are going to be coming up shortly thereafter that. April the 17th is a beautiful opportunity for you to take an online session of the foundational study. It'll go over 9 weeks. All of the information and registration available for you once again on our website. I think I'm going to sneeze. Oh, I thought I was going to sneeze there. Excuse me. And then on April 22nd, our Benedicta Institute for Women Spring Week-Long Immersive. We're inviting you to join us there for this great, great opportunity. Get out there, click on it, read all about it. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. Join us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We are so happy you are with us today, and I'm so looking forward to hearing from you. How about giving us a call here, 833-288-EWTN? That's 833-288-3986. Currently, all of the lines are available, so you can certainly get in. So we do invite you to give us a call here. I invite you also to use the chat feature there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. channel and Facebook page. Just put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Let us know who you are. I always like to know where you're, you know, contacting us from. That's always fun. And if it's YouTube or Facebook, and we will get it up on the board and I will be able to address it. We have Rich Jesse. He's producing today. He is the man behind the controls. Yep, he's the man behind the curtain making it all go. And happy about that. Matthew Gubensky is our call screener. He'll be taking your calls when you call in live. And we've got, I think it's Michael McCall out there who is doing our retrieving today from EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. What a jolly group of men. Yes, indeed. And they make it all fly. Makes this show happen. Yes, it does. 833-288-3986. Okay, so social media today is Charles Beery. Thank you very much, Rich. Charles Beery is doing all of that. You know, Rich, part of Rich's job is to just keep me on track. And that's a good thing. He gives me my time cues and all that kind of good stuff. They come up in our chat feature. And that's the way this show flies, and probably every show here on EWTN. I want to let you know, too, that you know, you can leave a call for us. And if you have a question, you can't, you know, you're not able to call in live, you can leave a question for us on our listener comment line. I gave it to you at the beginning of the program. I'll give it to you again. This is the direct number. And it's good for people inside of North America or outside of North America. Country code 1205-795-5773. Again, it's country code 1205-795-5773. I like to have these questions left for us because there are days when we do these mailbag days. We dip in there and we pull them up and we address them. And I like the opportunity for you to be able to use it because not everybody can call in. I mean, oftentimes people are listening at work or, you know, they're driving in the car and they don't want to call in live when they're in the car. So this gives you an opportunity after the fact to be able to give us a call. I would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number, however, for live. And I am live right now. Yes, I am. Praise you, Jesus. I'm still breathing, still moving on. Okay, I want to tell you, Jack and I went to the movie yesterday. And we like to go to the movies. You know, we don't go for the sake of going. We go if there's a good movie worth watching. We're very judicious in our decision-making process there. But this is something that we enjoy doing together. And during Lent, I have to tell you, on Fridays, we sometimes do that because we have popcorn for dinner. I don't think it's a sacrifice, though. Oh, dear. No meat. Anyway, all of that being said, maybe that's just a little bit too much information. But that being said, there you have it anyway. So yesterday we went to the movie and we watched, we went to see the movie Arthur. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this movie or not, but really it's showcasing this group of individuals who went on one of these week-long expeditions, really, you know, what high-level endurance expeditions. And it was really quite something to see. I do believe the setting was the Dominican Republic. And, you know, it was like over 400 and some miles that they were going to traverse during that period of time. I think it was like 435, but I could be wrong on that exact number. And they were going to traverse this, you know, by running. They were going to be kayaking. They were going to be mountain climbing. You know, they were going to be using just about every kind of means for them to be able to traverse this land, bicycling. So it was really a big deal. So as they're going along the way, there is this dog that attaches himself to them. And it is a story about how this dog helps them as they're going along. And this is based on a true story. So this is not, you know, it's not entirely fiction. Of course, you know, some of the characters may have been changed around a little bit, but basically the storyline is accurate. And it was very, very heartwarming on numbers of levels. It was very heartwarming on numbers of levels. And, you know, it was Costa Rica. Costa Rica, I'm wrong. It's adventure racing. So I'm getting corrected here. And I'm happy for that. It was Costa Rica. I don't know why I thought it was Dominican Republic. But anyway, all of that being said, it's a movie well worth watching. It's a PG-13 rated because of one word. I don't know why they feel it's so necessary to insert one word that is going to get that rating. But, you know, outside of that one word, it really is a family-friendly film, I think. It's you know, it's heartwarming. I enjoy these heartwarming movies that are available. So just wanted to tell you a little bit about that. Maybe you went to see it too. I don't think it premiered this week. I think it came out a week earlier or so. But all that being said, you know, let us know what you think about it. But more importantly, you know, how are you pulling family together at this moment as we approach this Paschal mystery of ours? How are you pulling family together? In what way, you know, are you planning to be inclusive of family with regard to the Triduum that's coming up? We're making our way to the Triduum, you know, and I think that is the way that, you know, we should be looking at this week. I was talking prior to our break there about the need to be intentional about this week and to be very aware of the fact that we are, you know, it's interesting to me. I don't see what you think about this. It's interesting to me, you know, maybe this is something that is being impressed upon me just based on, you know, I don't know, the period of time of my life that I'm in right now. I'm not really sure. But the fact of the matter is, these mysteries, and this is what I've been sensing for some time now, and I've been expressing it to you in numbers of different ways, especially when we talk about the rosary, but I'm more and more aware of the fact that these mysteries are ever present to us. They happened in time, but they're not locked into time. You know, God exists in the eternal moment. Everything is immediately present to God. And, you know, prayer and these ways in which we celebrate the liturgical year are really, I'm going to just call them entry points. They're entry points for us to go into the mystery that they are offering us. And, you know, I think about that in reference to the rosary, all of those mysteries of the rosary, you know, they're not just remembrances of the past. We as Catholics, we don't look at the mysteries of the faith that way. We don't look at the holy sacrifice of the Mass that way. You know, we don't look at this week that way. You know, yesterday we began a special walk. We began a special walk with Jesus during this last week that leads up to the culmination of his mission, which was to die for us. You know, and so, you know, mystically, you know, and when we use that word mystical, what does it relate to? I mean, it relates to mystery. You know, these are not things that we figure out. These are realities that we enter into that are always in the eternal moment, which is where God is. He's in the eternal moment. So when we allow ourselves to enter into the reality of God with us, right, then all of those mysteries are immediately present to us as God is present to us. And so, you know, through an awakening, you know, I don't know if that's quite the right word, but through, you know, an intentional effort to be present to that mystery in the present moment, then these realities, you know, become perceptible to the soul. Maybe that's the way to say it. Perceptible to the soul. And we want them to be. So, you know, this week of Holy Week, it's a holy week, but it's also, you know, an entry into the reality of this week. That's what makes it holy. So, you know, the Triduum, you know, we'll come together Thursday evening. Thursday evening begins the Triduum. Lent finishes, and the Triduum begins. It's kind of like its own little mini liturgical season. And now we're very close. You know, Jesus has been greeted with palm branches and hosannas yesterday. And, you know, he's making his way through this week. And we'll enter more deeply into the reality that Jesus knew was coming. You know, this came as no surprise. He knew what that was all about when he was walking through that week. He knew what it was about when he was on the donkey entering into Jerusalem. He knew what that was about. And so we're going to sojourn with him through this week, and then we're going to come to Thursday. Thursday was the celebration of the Passover, and Jesus is at that Passover meal. And when we come to the Mass of the Last Supper Thursday night, while we are in time, the reality of that mystery is not. And just as it is with every sacrifice of the Mass, we're leaving time and space and we're entering into that eternal moment. That eternal moment of the Son always sacrificing himself to the Father, only differently now that he's risen from the dead, but always there at the right hand of the Father, in union with him. And we're in union with Jesus, and he talks about that, doesn't he? He talks about that in John's Gospel. It's his prayer for us prior to the beginning of his passion. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. And he's praying for you, and he's praying for me without ceasing in that eternal moment. He's making intercession for you and me to the Father, right? And when we allow ourselves to step into that reality, well, big things begin to happen. And so we will be there with our Lord and the apostles at that Last Supper when we celebrate that Mass of the Last Supper on Holy Thursday. And we want to go in with that disposition of heart. That openness and receptivity of heart that says, Lord, this is way too much for me to understand and comprehend with my little wee finite mind, but it is not too much for my soul to comprehend. No, it's not. Because my soul is immortal. My soul is capable of being present to these mysteries, even though my mind fails me and my ability to comprehend it, and maybe even my senses fail me in my ability to recognize it, to take it in on any level, but not my soul. My soul is capable. And see, that's the business of this, you know, state of grace, isn't it, though? You know, that's the business of it. When we're not separated from God by mortal sin, and when we're striving after perfection, you know, when we're trying to break loose of, you know, those little sins, we call them venial, they wound the soul, but they don't kill it. Mortal sin kills the soul, it kills the relationship with God. When we're striving to let go of all of that, well, then we're growing, and our soul is more open and it's more receptive to the things of the divine life. And God wants that for you, and that's why, through the Holy Spirit, he's prevailed upon his church to make us cognizant of these things by way of the liturgical seasons. You know, sometimes I think that we're tempted, or maybe just me, I don't know, but I don't think so, tempted to think, well, you know, there's really, you know, nothing much going on in my life of prayer, right? Because we're not getting an immediate kind of consolation or insight or whatever. But no. It's just showing up and opening our soul to the divine life as we sit there, you know, striving to bring all of our being into that moment. You know, it really doesn't depend upon our effort. In that sense, it's God's work in us that he sees the effort. He smiles and says yes. That's the way I look at it. Sometimes I remind him of that, you know. Just smile at your daughter and say yes, because she's really struggling here in her time of prayer today. But nonetheless, you know, all of this is just what we're heading towards. So I hope this is special for you. That's why I want for us, you know, to really be making this time of preparation through today and tomorrow and Wednesday and then Thursday, so that when we enter into the Triduum, oh my goodness, something otherworldly begins to take place within us, whether we recognize it or not. And that's the beautiful thing, because sometimes you only see the fruit of your time of prayer, you know, long after that time of prayer has ended, you know, it comes out in other ways. And, you know, something must have gone on there because this is different in me, or I'm looking at the situation differently, or gee, I responded a little differently in that moment than I would likely have been responding most usually, right? And then you say, oh my goodness, Grace was certainly there. Okay, well, listen, I would love to hear from you. Yes, I would. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So John in Birmingham called, and he asked this question. Johnette, I'm having a hard time explaining the Catholic teaching on IVF to my friends, even my Catholic ones. They say the church is being two-faced by claiming to be so pro-life but denying people children. How do I explain that the church isn't a giant meanie, but that this is actually the most loving thing? Well, I'll tell you what, John from Birmingham, we'll talk about that question when we come back from the break. In the meantime, I am inviting all of you to give me a call here. Yes, I am. These phone lines are open. And I know that Matthew would like to be kept busy. That's Matthew Gubensky, who is our call screener. And I know that Charles Beery would like to be ready. Oh, goodness sakes. That's funny. Would like to be ready to take your phone calls. He is ready. He'd like to take them. Excuse me. He's not taking your phone calls. He's taking your messages. I have myself all wound up here. Help me out. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Looking forward to hearing from you today. The phone lines are filling up. I'm glad. Yay! We still have some lines available, though. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Matthew Gubensky on the phones. Charles Beery today is our wonderful retriever, getting your questions and comments off of EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So leave something there so the man is kept busy. I was informed that Charles Beery is not weary. So therefore, we want to get him weary. We want to keep him busy. So get some questions out there. Prior to going to the break, while we're getting our callers up, John in Birmingham called in and he asked about IVF. He says, Johnette, I'm having a hard time explaining the Catholic teaching on IVF to my friends, even my Catholic ones. They say the church is being two-faced by claiming to be so pro-life, but denying people children. How do I explain that the church isn't a giant meanie, but that this is actually the most loving thing? All right, so here is the deal on IVF. This is in vitro fertilization is what IVF stands for. And this is a situation whereby a man intervenes in helping a woman to become pregnant who otherwise seems to be unable to become pregnant. The means that they use for that to take place is immoral on a number of levels. I can't really get into that on the air. But, you know, we know how children are conceived. We know what comes together in the womb of a woman, a sperm and an egg. And so man intervenes with this. Now, in vitro fertilization is helping that process along, but outside of the normal way in which a woman conceives a child. So, and that means involves immoral means. So there's that aspect of it. The other part of this is that typically what ends up happening is that many times there are more than one child is conceived. Because the woman is also taking fertility drugs that cause her to emit more than, one egg at a time. And oftentimes, the woman has conceived numbers of children. And there is a selective process that goes on in that, selecting which of those children should come to life. So it involves an abortive reality as well. So there is that problem, all right? But fundamentally, at the root of this, is that it interrupts the way in which God intends for the human person to be conceived. And that is through a loving embrace, right? Through a loving embrace. This is all very sterile. Oftentimes, there's test tube babies, you know, this is oftentimes where the child is not even begun in the womb of her little mommy. No, she's begun in, you know, a petri dish, a test tube, and then inserted into mommy's womb. This, we can't, you know, one of the things that I think that we lack today is we lack an ethical basis. We lack a moral basis on what should be done. Just because something can be done doesn't mean it ought to be done. And we know that technology, you know, it's interesting because at the close of the Second Vatican Council, Pope Paul VI penned letters to various segments of the population of people, like to artists, you know, to various industries like that. But he penned one to women. And he said this in that message. It's really quite a beautiful message. I would encourage every woman to go out and to read it because you'll see how central you are to God's plan of salvation by way of your femininity, by way of your feminine genius. But he closes it up by, and this is a direct statement that he's making to the women, right? He's speaking to the women of the entire universe, as the quote says. I'm going to get it as close as I can. He says, "Reconcile men with life," he says to the women. Women of the entire, he says, "Reconcile men with life. Hold back the hand of man who in a moment of folly might destroy human civilization." He says, "Technology runs the risk of becoming inhuman. Hold back the hand of man who in a moment of folly might destroy human civilization. Women of the entire universe, you to whom life is entrusted at this grave moment in time, it is for you to save the peace of the world." And I want you to look at or hear that one little thing he says there. The one little thing that he says there is reconcile men with life. Technology runs the risk of becoming inhuman today. I think that actually precedes it. Technology runs the risk of becoming inhuman today. Reconcile men with life. And above all, we beseech you, hold back the hand of man who in a moment of folly might destroy human civilization. Women of the entire universe, you to whom life is entrusted this grave moment in time, it is for you to save the peace of the world. And I think that that's pretty much it. But, I want to draw your attention to the words, technology runs the risk of becoming inhuman. You know, and I think that IVF is an illustration of that. It's an inhuman way for life to be conceived, which is the beginning of life. And so, you know, we move this trajectory forward and we see where we are today. And, you know, it's really all of a warp and a woof. So the Holy Mother Church maintains that conception comes by way of a loving embrace, not by way of manipulation. So that's the ethics, that's the morality, so to speak. But this business that, you know, we claim to be pro-life, but deny people children. The church is not denying people children. You know, sometimes what we have to realize, as difficult as this is, as hard as this is, sometimes we have to realize that everything that we want, we don't get. You know, and I think the desire for children is a holy and right desire. But that we have to acknowledge the fact that it doesn't always happen. And when it doesn't happen, it's a big cross. But it may well be the very cross that God wants to use, you know, to draw us into a greater expression of union with Jesus. You know, we could offer that cross for all of the children who are being born into dysfunctional situations. We can offer that cross for all of the children who are being murdered on the altar of convenience today by way of abortion, by way of a misunderstanding of human rights. We don't have a right to everything that we want. We don't have a right to our body. It's not our, we didn't create this body. This body belongs to God. And so when it suffers in some way, which leads to a suffering of ourselves, we have to look at it as being an entrustment to us from God, an entrustment of his son's own cross. So the church is not being a meanie. You know, she's not trying to frustrate a person's desire, but she's trying to uphold the principle that life is a gift, and it's a gift from God. And we cannot play God, because for reasons known only to him, he absolutely knows why he's doing what he's doing. And it takes a great deal of humility to recognize that truth. We live in a time where I want it, I'm going to get it by any means. No. Now, there are many children, many, many, many children who would benefit by a generosity of heart that would provide a home and love to them. And maybe, maybe that is what God is asking. Maybe that's what God is asking. So we'll leave that question now. We've got Mary with us. Mary is in Lockport, New York today. She's a first-time caller. I am ringing my bell. Hello, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. So let's talk. What's going on?
Well, I have a problem. For the past, well, my youngest grandson has been going with a girl for a couple of years, and she is by birth a Muslim, but she doesn't practice her religion at all. And
okay.
I have been praying for over a year to the Infant of Prague for her conversion. And a couple weeks ago, she asked me if I would be her sponsor, but she didn't know how to go about going to learn more about the Catholic religion. So I got in touch with where I knew she would be going to church if she, you know, did this, with the RCIA lady at the program, and got her in. She went for her first interview fine. Everything went fine. Now she is going to go to Holy Thursday Mass, and then coming to out where I live to go to Good Friday services with me, and then coming back and going to Easter Mass. However, I think my grandson is breaking up with her, and I'm just caught in between a rock and a hard place, because I've been praying so long for her conversion, and I feel the Holy Spirit has touched her and answered my prayer. I told her I would be her sponsor, but I said, you have to be doing this for yourself, not for my grandson, not for me, not for anybody. It has to be your want and your desire. And she promised me that it was. So I'm going to continue with her regardless what she and my grandson, what the outcome of their relationship is, because I feel this girl has a lot to live for. If she converts, I think her life will be so much fuller. So I don't know. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place.
Well, honey, I think, well, this is what I think. I think that you've landed on the appropriate way to go. And that is that you continue your relationship with this young girl. It occurs to me that maybe the whole purpose in your grandson meeting her and, having a lovely, it sounds like, dating relationship with her or courtship with her, may very well have been so that she would have met you and she would come into the faith. It might not really end up being something that God brought together for the sake of marriage, but maybe for the sake of her conversion. Obviously, it's very, very important for people to get married because they believe that God's brought them together. And if your grandson doesn't believe that that's the case here, it wouldn't be a good thing for him to marry her. But that doesn't have to interrupt your relationship with her. And it certainly doesn't have to interrupt your influence, your very good and holy influence in her life, and helping her as she comes into the faith, but then even after coming into the faith, continues to grow in her faith. And I would explain that to your grandson. I think that you could just have a reasonable conversation with him. And is there indication that he's going to break up with her? Has he shared that with you? Or
yeah, sort of. But they're, they might get back together. I'm not sure, but I haven't really had an opportunity to talk to him because he doesn't get home too often. Mm-hmm. He lives in Rochester, which is an hour away from where I live. But I for so long I have prayed for her conversion, and now I've told God to use me.
And he is.
Get to her to use me, and now. This is happening, and I don't feel worthy.
So is your concern that you don't feel worthy, or is your concern that your grandson's going to break up with her and maybe
betraying
him? Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing, sweetie. It says in sacred scripture that, St. Paul cries out, I believe that this is in Corinthians somewhere. He cries out and he says, he talks about following along in Christ's triumphal train, and he says, leading those who are destined for eternal life to eternal life, and bringing life to some and destruction to others. And then he says, but for such a mission as this, is anyone really qualified? And this is St. Paul asking that question, the same question you're asking. We could say, is anyone really worthy of such a great entrustment by God? Well, no, but God qualifies us. God makes us worthy. So it's the Holy Spirit working in you. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. And I would say it's our Blessed Mother taking you into her ministry of and great role in salvation history. So, I would say, maybe let's not judge ourselves on our worthiness. God has permitted this woman, this young woman, to come into your life. She's come into your life. You have a deep affection. Dare I say, you love her. Love her so much that you want to see her experience the fullness of truth. You love her so much that you want her to enter into a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how much you love her. And to continue on that path, regardless of the circumstances with your grandson, regardless of that circumstance, is a beautiful thing. And just tell the Lord, Father God, I am not worthy, but I accept and receive every spiritual blessing in the heavens that you want to give me to stand by the side of this, your daughter, whom you love so much that you're bringing her to your son, and just go with that. I don't think anybody that is in apostolic work on any level, Mary, feels worthy of it or feels qualified for it. I know I don't.
Well,
and I stand back and marvel, but it's God who wants to work in you. You can say that. You can say fiat, give yes to that.
I am a Eucharistic minister, and every time I hold that Holy Host in my hand, I say I'm not worthy.
Right.
To hold Jesus Christ in my hand.
That's right.
You know, I don't know. I shouldn't have these feelings, I suppose.
Well, honey, no, I think it's right that you have these feelings as long as you don't let these feelings stop you from moving forward. You know,
no, they won't.
That's right. And what do we say? All of us. That's right. All of us say prior to receiving our Lord, right? Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Domine non sum digno, sunt intra subjecto meam, sunt tantum declarabo et sanabitur anima mea, right? I am not worthy. That is an accurate statement, but God makes us worthy. The Holy Spirit makes us worthy. So you go forward and let's just say a little prayer together. So, Father God, your daughter Mary and I come before you, and we're so grateful for this beautiful young lady that you have brought into Mary's life. We thank you, Lord, for her openness of heart to come to know your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, I ask that this beautiful, beautiful daughter of yours, whose name is Mary, named for your mother, that this beautiful, beautiful woman would be accompanied by our Blessed Lady, even as she seeks to bring birth, really, into this young woman's life, knowledge of your Son by way of Holy Mother Church. And so, Father, you know, in these moments when she feels prevailed upon because she sees her own lack of worthiness, may that, rather than into a song of lament, turn into a song of praise. Let it turn into a song of praise and say, Father God, I am so unworthy, but look at you. You see fit. Let the Magnificat of our Blessed Mother become her Magnificat, that you do great things in your people, that you are doing great things for her, that she is entering into this beautiful, beautiful mission of our Blessed Lady to bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for this young woman. I pray that her heart would remain open. I pray, Father God, for the young man involved here. And Father, it is your ultimate desire that these two come together in the sacrament of holy matrimony. So be it. But Father, if you have other plans for them, then we pray for that and say, so be it. But what we hope for and pray for, Father, is that this young woman would continue to remain spiritually attached, if you will, to Mary through this process of RCIA, so that next Easter Vigil, she comes into the church. Oh my goodness, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bud that's going to blossom in the knowledge of your Son and his work within her. And so it is, Father, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. So there you have it, Mary. God's chosen you, sweetie.
Thank you. You have given me a lot of encouragement, and I just want you to know that I am a good Christian. I've done the five first Saturdays many times. I pray the rosary every day. I go to church faithfully, and I just feel so present with God. And I feel when I talk to him, that he's going to answer me, so I got to be careful.
Well, I'm so pleased, and I'm quite certain that that presence of God that you feel, that presence of God in you, is what has touched this young woman. So you go with that knowledge that our Lord is using you. And, you know, I think it was I don't know if it was Therese, it was one of the saints. It could have been little Therese of Lisieux. You know, she says, I'm just a little broom in the hands of the Lord. When he needs the floor swept, he picks me up. When he's finished with me, he puts me back in the corner. So, yeah, that's he's using you right now. He's sweeping this young girl right into the church. So may God be praised for that. Thank you, Mary, for your call. It's beautiful. I have tears in my eyes. I'm quite overjoyed. God bless you now. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that a lovely story? I mean, this is it. We just don't realize the impact that we can have in the lives of people when we let the Holy Spirit work in us, right? So I want to encourage you in that way and remind you once again that as we begin this holy, holy walk to the Triduum, to be looking for the ways in which Jesus is drawing you into those days that we're commemorating at this time, and bringing you the graces of those days, that you might experience the abundance that he has in mind for you to receive on Easter Sunday. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow. I am looking forward to it. John Martinoni is going to be with us. It's the last Tuesday of the month, and we're going to be doing some apologetics. So get your apologetics questions handy. Get them to us. Call us with them or send them. We'll look forward to it. God bless you now. Bye-bye.